We spent a lot of time discussing the Shita Mekubetzes in so many details yesterday. I wanted to share with you some of the insights of the Sefer Tshuvos VaHanhagos by Rav Sternbuch. We had alluded to it once before, but I wanted to read you a little bit more extensively from his tshuva. This is in Chelek Dalet, where he talks about Ger Kata. Okay, and I already told you, he said some things which if I said it, they'd throw me out of the Beis Medrash, but he said it, so it's good. This is in Simon Reish Lamed Aleph. He claims that an individual who was adopted and has absolutely nowhere to go at age 13, Anan Sadi, we are 100% sure that he has no choice. What's he going to do? I want to become a goy, he's going to be left in the street. There's no need even to tell him. There's not even a need to tell him. That's what he says. No need to say a word. Baru lana shayaskim. There's no din. Anan Sadi. That's all. He can't be mocha. There's no need for a Kabbalah b'poel. That's what he writes in the first paragraph. We read this a couple of days ago. But he continues beyond this first paragraph, and he quotes the words that we saw yesterday in the Shita Mekubetzes from the Ritva and the Rashba. Well, there it says, you may recall, the question was, the famous question, but after Shoachas not, so the Ritva and the Rashba quoted in the name of Tosfos, that you know what? I read you again the Lashon from over here. Well, they say as follows, quote, according to this, you get an impression. You have to tell him. I was bedacked myself from Lashon Shita Mekubetzes. I attributed that to the Shita of Tosfos and Sanhedrin Samaches, with his b'katnus or the lack of kabbalas mitzvahs. As soon as it's possible to do it, you must do it. That's how I read it. It's nice in trouble. So now you have to tell it. Right? If you don't tell it, you're not satisfying the geres, at least according to the sheet of the Tosfos in Sanhedrin, or the sheet of the Mekubetzes here in Ksubas Tafid Aleph. Says the Rav Sternbuch, no, not true. It's not true. Not true. Says like, and he says a very big chish. He said, you know what? If this is correct, you should require Hodo and a Bezdin. Lo shamanim eolam, you need to do Bezdin when you turn 13. This itself is not such a tremendous kasha. Could be you don't need a Bezdin. Right? That we just remember how to do Yesh Mefarshim. Bezdin knows about it. Yeah. But you need some kind of a formal Kabbalah. Or at least, how should we say it? A knowledge that you're a convert, so when you could be from, that's a form of Kabbalah. But over here, when there's not even a knowledge that you're a ger, so what? Who be right as follows? Shimnoglu be mitzvahs of Meshach's man, ma, acha shigdilu, bevadai muchach benichalu venechshav kekiblu alea mitzvahs umaspik bekach. Valdas came, this guy rebezin bekadus. They don't say a word, they don't even know they're converts, they're from for a period of time after the bar mitzvah, that's good enough. I have to tell the Tosfos. They're talking about people who are not from. They don't want to be Jewish. When Shita quotes Tosfos as saying, you have to tell him, it means you have to tell him at all. He's right. The context is, so I have an opportunity to be Mochem, and to, gotta read me my rights. Yeah, that's what the monitor, read his rights. Otherwise they'll say, you know, the cops, they read you the rights. Otherwise you can say, no, it didn't follow process. So one of the rights you have is you should know this is schar and this is onish. And once you tell him it's schar and it's onish, and he still is not moche, then it's not considered to be a macho. That's what he says. But the average person who's not going to be moche, right, and he has a non-sadi, not going to be moche, You don't have to tell him anything. So writes over here in Siman Reish Lamed Aleph, a very interesting and fascinating chiddush. A fascinating chiddush. I have a question which I want to raise with you, which I think is an interesting precedent in Gemara Yevamos. Oh, it's interesting. He goes into the various Tosfos, the Tosfos in Sanhedrin, that I keep speaking about, Samaches and Beis, and the Tosfos in Ksubas on Daf Yud Aleph. He keeps going through the whole thing. He insists that this is the case to be. You don't have to have a Kabbalah, Rabosai, as long as you are from, then it is a Geirus. Not only is it a Geirus, because I mentioned to you already a little bit yesterday, he says, again, Ein kan maisa Geirus mechodesh mishahigdil, rak sagi b'mashinogin b'mitzvus b'poel. That's good enough. That's good enough. And he quotes Tosfos in Sanhedrin, the typo, which is Ayin Dal Mishamaches. That gufa nechshel kekabbalah, just being from. And he says further than that, Rabosai. It's Doraisa. Even according to Tosfos, Ksubas Yud Aleph, the Rabbanan, min haTorah chal begadlus kshemochiach b'meshach zman shemekayim es haMitzvos. Even if there's no formal Kabbalah, ain't tzorach ma'isegeres mechadosh. It's Doraisa. Both according to Tosfos, Ksubas Yud Aleph, Tosfos in the Samaches, it's Doraisa without a new Kabbalah. That's a chiddush. To me, it's a chiddush because Tosfos Ksubas Yud Aleph, I think, is correct. We said about it yesterday, so the watch story. You know, you never found out about it. It's still a good schiyah. But Tosfos in Sanhedrin says that you need a Kabbalah. It says that the Kabbalah is not required, calls mine, it's impossible until the 13. I would have thought you really need a Kabbalah. So that he says, you're right, you need a Kabbalah, but the mere fact that you keep the mitzvahs is itself considered to be a Kabbalah. That's a very big chiddush to me. It's a big chiddush to me. The problem, of course, becomes, I don't know about it. The guy doesn't know that. If he's not told that he's a ger, he doesn't know about it. He doesn't know he has to be in the Kabbalah. So even though the fact that he's keeping the mitzvahs, what kind of Kabbalah is that? What'll happen? I give something to a zochin situation, to a cut, and the cut on. Very thank you. I'm not, take a bar mitzvah present. So I'll buy him, I know what he likes, I'll buy him a box of candies. It's bar mitzvah. I give it to him, you know, it's on Shabbos. I bring it to him on Friday, Mazel Tov or something like that. I'll give it to someone to give to him. Zoch alone shall be fun of him. Zoch on the cotton, the one giver says, what? Help? Here the cotton is only what? B'drabon. Good. Now, come Shabbos, he's 13 years old. Who owns it, Midoraisa? Do I own it, or does the kid own it? What would you say? Box of chocolates. So, he owned it already, Midorabonin, yesterday, on Friday, right? I gave it, he wasn't home, he was in yeshiva. I gave it to his mother, to give to the kid. Oh, he comes home, gewaldig. Then his older brother said, you only own this, Midorabonin. Spoil sport. It's only your chocolate, Midorabonin. I learned in yeshiva, I know. Let's hear the cut, Midorabonin. Good, Midorabonin. So then, the next day, it's bar mitzvah. So the guy will say to his older brother, now it's my midoraisa, because I'm being kohenet now. He'll say, you can't be kohenet on Shabbos. So they'll go back on the back of the fight. They'll fight about this one. So Sunday, motzias, now it's my midoraisa. But let's say the typical kid is just 30, 13. He never heard of Shechil HaKot Midrabon. He didn't learn Baba Matiyah. Didn't have to get a different gear, so maybe, whatever it is. So he thinks it's his already on Friday. So has it become his on Sunday midoraisa? He has no intention to acquire it. He thinks it's his already. And while you're asking a question, everyone open up to Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis in Masechta Yevamos. I know it's going to sound a little bit strange to you, but I'm not, an interesting comparison I haven't done in a moment. Yes, sir?
It's not the guys anymore, the first guys anymore, because basically can take it away from
him. Not necessarily.
Why not?
It could be. But not going into the Kenyan Midrabbanim, Hani the Rice, but that's not arguing right now. You're right. Whatever. Please, let's not nitpick on that particular detail. I hear what you're saying. Not bad. Look in Yevamos Nun Beis Amud Beis, amazing Gemara. Without going into all the details, it's as follows. It's a complicated case with Chalitza, that's not our Indian. My time about 12 lines up, 15 lines up. Asu'a ka'oder b'nichse ager V'kasav v'shalohein, the lo kani. Nichsi ager is a code word for hefker. Ger died with no yorshim. What is an oder? How do you translate the word oder? Rashi says, ka oder. Chofer, v'kasav v'shalohein, shekarka ager samach lekarko, umeis ager v'lo yorshim, v'amachzik v'nichos of kana, v'zeh chofer v'karka ager v'kasav v'shazakarka shalom. He thinks it's his. On his kavan lahapzik, the lo kani. He's a kinyan chazaka, but he didn't have in mind for a kinyan chazaka. Why? Because he thinks it's his. He also thinks kiddushi yavam betovsim bach. So therefore, that not going into the complicated part about the chalitza and the kiddushin of yavam. Not having it right now. So what's amazing vart? If I do a kinyan chazaka on something which thinking it's mine, not kona. If I know it's not mine and I start digging around, that's one of the three kinyan of kiddush shtar v'chazaka. I'm kone b'chazak. But now that I think it's mine, I'm not kone. So I'm asking along in a similar vein. If I keep the mitzvahs, and I know that until then I'm not Jewish, and now by keeping the mitzvah I become Jewish, okay, so I become Jewish. I think I'm Jewish from birth. No one ever told me that it's not my real mother and my real father. I think I'm Jewish from birth. And I start benching and saying, Krishna, well, how can I become Jewish? How can I make that transformative act without even realizing what I'm doing? That is the question which bothers me. So we could suggest that maybe this din of Oder v'nichsi ager is not necessarily a din in Kol HaKinyonim. Maybe it's a local din of Chazaka. Chazaka means some magical Kinyon. I start digging around and suddenly I'm calling something. How do you understand that? Well, maybe the Chazaka, because it's not intrinsic, it's not a Kesef and Shtar, I understand. Chazaka is a little bit amorphous. So maybe it means, well, a chazaka in combination with your intention is a demonstration of ownership. So because it's a little bit amorphous, it requires a knowledge of a demonstration of ownership and something to know belonged to you previously. Maybe it's a local din when it comes to chazaka, not a din in kol hakinyonim kula. For example, the case we spoke about before. The kid has a chocolate, the box of chocolates, and he has it in his hand, even though he was already got it when it was a cut in his own b'drabbanan. Now he's koneh b'daraisa, even without an intention to be koneh, because after all, it's in his hand. You know, it could be a case not just from d'rabbanan to daraisa, from that at all. A kid picks up a metziah, he finds a box of chocolates. On a simple level, it could be he's not calling at all. Again, it's complicated, sugars in the Gemara. When he turns 13, it could be it's his, even though he thought it was his from before, because it's not the same, necessarily, as Oder v'nichsei hageri. In that case, remember, what did he do? He dug around, by some magic it should become his. He didn't even realize it's now becoming his. But here, if he has a box of chocolate, it's in his hands, it's on his table. So since it's by him, even though he didn't have intention to make a Maisa Kinyan because he thought it was his from before, it might still be his. And the same with, if I may use it, expression, his Judaism. His Judaism is his. He didn't realize he was becoming Jewish by keeping mitzvahs. He thought he was Jewish from birth. But his Judaism is his. It's like the chocolate box of chocolates that's in his hand. And therefore, perhaps not comparable to the situation here of Oder b'nichsei ager in Masechta Yevamos, daf nun beis amud beis. If you take a look at the Tosfos Yeshonim on the bottom of the daf, v'kasav v'shein shalo, lo kani, last three lines. Heini kavana to be kona, but bekama, it says the other way around. V'yeshloma, tohosim b'kinyin metaltlin. Oh, so by ein tzarech kavana, du lo olim cheskas habaylin aleim, then the chosim shein lem achrayis, v'liklin bekal. It's easy to acquire metaltlin, because it's movable. The first owner's possession is not so strong, and now can become mine rather easily, as opposed to karka, which is more complex. Okay, so we can suggest that, how should we say it? Judaism, forgive the expression, is like metaltlin in this regard. And therefore, even though it's, even like Odom Nixia doesn't work, a comparable case of metaltlin does work. To add another dimension, the Ketos HaKoshen in Simon Ayin Reish Hesef Kotten Dal, it says, when it's das acheres makna, not going into the lumbus of kinyanim now. There's a big difference between a metziah and a matana. Metziah I'm acquiring from nowhere, or the nechseger from hefker. There's a chesaron. But if das acheres makta, I'm giving it to you, you don't know I'm giving it to you. You think it's just in the beginning. So says that would be kohen. So we can suggest a chiddush, the same as das acheres as makta. So get kohen rabbi and also al das bezdin. See our shava das das. That's going to work. The equivalent of a das acheres makta, where you can be kohen even in the older minchsei ager, and similarly in a situation such as ours. Fine. Good. Now we go back to Tshuvas van Hoggus, Dalat Siman Reish Lamanav. I gave you a defense of his opinion that even though you didn't realize you weren't Jewish until you could become Jewish, I'm not saying it's necessarily correct, but it certainly can be correct. Now, he says. So a young boy turns 13, he's adopted. Don't tell him right away, he can protest. We might have an Anan Sade, he can't do it, as we said before. Aval Bigwis Moshe, Pshitale, Shagamba Umat, Tarak Lodilo, Shiyokalim Khos Dafka. Got a tongue, we saw that yesterday, the day before. Uvalavochi, I'm reading the words. Lidato Einanu Yehudi Adayim. He quotes Rav Moshe saying that until you tell him you're not Jewish. I didn't read that at all. We read Rav Moshe together, didn't we? Wasn't it on the screen? Pretty sure. I read Rav Moshe the opposite. Rav Moshe said if he goes to his grave and never finds out about it, he is Jewish. Rav Moshe only says if he wakes up at 50 and tries to protest, then he's not going to become not Jewish, so it's not Kedai. So I believe it's a misread of Rav Moshe. He tells it to Simon, Kuf Samach Bey, if you didn't tell him, Einenu Yehudi Adayin. I don't think Rav Moshe ever said that. I'm just, I don't want to put it on the screen again, but I did think that this is a misread of what Rav Moshe said. Just look it up yourself and tell me if you think I'm right. And that comes a wild one. This is absolutely wild. I think it may be in some ways wilder than the first thing. But listen to what he says. Rav Sternbach says. Listen. Al pirov hayom konim esayelet mehaima liosbeno. You buy the kid from the mother to belong to you. Umaashim is also based mishpat. It's confirmed in a secular court. And therefore, I, the adopter, can certainly do it. I don't need the kid's knowledge. Why? Shehu shalam amit ka'avdo v'yochol l'shavdo l'geres v'alkorcho v'shuvah l'yochol l'vchos. Now, Rav Moshe suggested this, if you recall. Rav Moshe required that you have intention to buy him as an eved. And you m'shachar him with a get shichu and whole story. He says, no, every adoption, I'm buying the kid. Gentlemen, anyone know an attorney here? Anyone know an attorney, adoption attorney? I think he'd freak out if he read this. Rav Sternbach, he's English, remember. He's an English background. Do you believe that an adoptive parent buys the kid to the extent like he's like, no, it's an Evan Mamash or Kishore Vachamor, like his chairs? That's what he writes over here. Every adopter buys the kid. Who thinks he's right? Raise your hand. You think he's right? You don't, slowly. Doesn't mean it's really yours. And he calls our Rabbah, that same Rabbah, Ches Alach, Avadim Ches, it's okay, come on. Avadim Perches Alach Achof, Yisrael Shetokach Akum Kotan, Hazer Eze Ger, right? The same Eben, Eze Eben. But that was when the law allowed it. Rav Moshe himself says it's against American law. How can you do this? You're buying a kid, it's yours? What is this, Sudan? You traffic in human beings as property, as chattel? What do you think?
Isn't the ownership then, it's just saying the ownership as much as you own your regular child in terms that he's fully your child?
You think your father owns you?
No, it's not in terms of owning like a slave, in terms of owning that when you're under 13, your father is responsible for your decisions.
That I agree with you 100%. That's not what he's writing over here. He's talking about Rambam in the old days, Yisrael, Shetokaf, the Shem Evet is the Evet. We don't have Avodah nowadays. Come back. Hold them up. It's not that.
What are we paying such tremendous amount of money?
We pay sums for adopting kids, not because we're paying for the kid. The money doesn't go to the kid. The money goes to a whole bunch of others. It goes to some of the people giving up for adoption, some of the adoption agency. Who knows where the money's going? It seems to me that they've pushed it, at least today, as Rav Moshe himself writes, you don't own anybody. No human being owns any other human being nowadays. Certainly not in this country. Of course it could be. Rav Moshe suggested it. There was an Eved. Rav Moshe, the Shittoso, by the Shifchuch, I mentioned that last time. a Moshe can have a shivcha nowadays, if the mom is married, a shivcha, etc., etc. But even if Rav Moshe is right, that's Rav Moshe requires that when you do the adoption, you have in mind and you spell it out. I'm being koneu as an eved. I mean, not to the kid. Tell the who you're telling it to. The adoptive parents, the natural parents, know where they'll be seen. You tell. Imagine you tell the social worker initially. Excuse me, hello, ma'am, Mr. Social Worker. I'm telling. I'm acquiring. I'm buying as my slave. She'll throw you out the door before you turn around. So how can you buy if no one's selling it to you? What's going on over here? What's happening? Rav Moshe requires that. Rav Sternberg doesn't want to say that. Because it's automatically that way. Why is it automatically that way? I do not understand exactly what he's saying. Not only that, the Rambam that he's quoting says, the father has the right to do it. In many of these cases of adoption, the father's an absentee father. He had his girlfriend, disappeared, and now she's left holding the bag. She, if anyone, sells the kid, comes up with a chiddush nifla v'narad mot. And the schus only belongs to the father, Rambam Beferish, yeah. That's the normal case, where the father is there. Then he has the right to sell the kid. If the father's absentee, no one is nus, the father's nowhere to be seen, right? Then it's considered to be the mother's. She can sell it. And Rav Sternberg has the unbelievable, I don't know how to say it, to say, Ulefi dineyem, Gamkein achrei shayim echzikabom nechshav kishalom. And it's chambi dina damachus adina. What? Dina damachus adina, it belongs to you? I just don't understand this man. If it's dina, it doesn't belong to you at all. What's he saying? Yes.
Just not on that specific point that Rambam just said.
Yeah.
But can there possibly be, Rambam doesn't make this chiluk in his tshuva, but can there be a difference, do people address the difference that a halakhic eved is different from what's considered a slave in today's law, in U.S. law?
True, but as far as this Rambam is concerned, he didn't have knowledge. Full disclosure, the last paragraph he backs out and says he should tell the kid that he's adopted. You know why? He thinks if you don't tell the kid, you have to be an Isser of Yichud, you're going to give him a hug and a kiss, which is Usser because he doesn't hold many of the Heterim. For totally different reasons, he said you should tell him he's adopted, but not for the reasons that we're talking about. This is the last paragraph in that tshuva. It's another tshuva. Chelek Hei. Okay? Chelek Hei. This is, he turns it around at the other extreme. This is amazing. He goes from one extreme to the other. He says, if Rav Moshe is right, listen to this now. If Rav Moshe is right, Simon Reish Tzadi Tess, okay, in Os Aleph. If, he quotes himself, here's Rav Moshe, if Rav Moshe, Rav Moshe is right, but you have to tell him, catch this now. Even if you tell him when he's 13, listen now, that he has the right to protest, and he doesn't, he can protest at 21. Look at this, from one extreme to the other. Why? He says like this, he can say later on, at 13, I was an anus, because I knew that if I protest at 13, they'd throw me out of the house. So I say to these people, when they tell their adoptive kid at 13, right, tell them like this, you can stay in our house even if you refuse to be Jewish. And Baruch Hashem decided to be Jewish. What's going on? The other extreme. This is an absolutely fascinating concept. What do you mean is an anus? Didn't Rav Sternberg learn the Ritva? Everyone wants to marry a girl as an anus. Agav unzer gamer mekabel. Who cares that he's an anus? Unless he learned, I happen to see, I've on my desk, I have a beautiful kuntres from the curly Rav Usher Weiss Shlita Yerushalayim. Rav Usher Weiss Shlita want to lemshad na Ritva of Agav Onis, Gomer Makabel, is limited to the case of Gary Arias where the lions are killing him. Does not apply he wants to marry the beautiful good girl. Well, the other way around. That's not the way Rav Chaim Oisler, the Ritva, he himself says of Weiss, it's against everybody. I frankly, when I read the Ritva, I thought a little bit that way. But upon reflection, I think that the other way is correct, but maybe Rav Sternberg holds that way. Yeah, listen.
But can you say more points? Like the case of the movie Yisrael Hirtzfah is still talking about when it's a lifetime commitment. This is clearly when he grows up, he doesn't his parents anymore. Or not clearly, but it's very, very reasonable for him to think that I'm only doing it for now, for the next 5 years, I'm 18, and then I'm going to throw it off. If you're getting married, or...
So you have to tell him. Now you're 13. If you want, you can protest. But if you don't protest, you're a Jew until you die for 120 years.
Couldn't you say Agav and Sai was different here because it's temporary onus as opposed to a situation where he expects to be accepting it forever?
Ah. You don't say Agav onus because when you say Agav onus is when the onus is forever. When the onus is when the Yada onus is going to disappear at a future date. So just wait, you'll bide your time. That's a very good story. I like your story better than mine. Very good. Very good. I'm not learning out of those sugars. It's very relevant in the Hilchas Mekech or Memkeh, and it's sort of Sikrikon and Gittin, the Beis Yosef and Simon Reish Hei, and Choshen Mishpah. It's relevant to the laws of Get Me'usa. You made a very good point. Good. Thank you so much. I'm talking riddles now, but I just don't have time. Okay, good. Very good. Let me go a little bit further. In this same Simon, I happen to find, he talks about a Tvila's Ger Kotten, who makes the bracha. I already told you my part. There was a Rabbi Barat Saloni, we saw it in the book of Yosef, that says the Matl makes the bracha. And I thought that the that those who say that the Bez makes the bracha for their Ger Kotten found the Barat Saloni. But we don't follow the Rabbi Barat Saloni. We pass on only the Tovel himself, that's a Sridi Eshi quote. Only the Tovel himself can make the bracha. The Tovel is only a month old. So there is no bracha. That's what I thought. It's true, the Ravid says that the Bezin says you make a bracha. But then he claims, when did the Ravid say that? Only in a case in which the kid walks in by himself. But if the Matl takes the kid down, then the Matl makes a bracha. I thought the Ravid like the Rabbi Barzaloni. Again, I'm just giving you some snippets. Now, I want to talk about the parasha. Just one more nakuda, and then we'll have to talk about the parasha of Shavua. I bought a beautiful mandara of Bakshi, which I mentioned to before, about adopted children. So he quotes the Ritva that we saw yesterday in the Shita Mekubetzes, that the children are nigger achar the mother, the same as the father, maybe even more so. Why? From the perspective of Nichalei, they want to do what the parents want them to do. But then he quotes the Meiri. I may have mentioned this to you yesterday also. The Meiri says that the father is in charge of the chinuch. That's only the father. The father is in charge of the chinuch, and the mother is not in charge of the chinuch. Says Rav Bakshi as follows. Nafkamina will be, he has his nafkaminas over here, what about a father after he converts? I already mentioned to you before that once the father converts and the son did not convert yet, the father is no longer related to the son. Who said so? Because of the Beferish of Tosis Yontif in Kiddushin, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Gimel. That's the Mishnah we learned already before about the case of the Eved Yechol Mamzerim Lihitoyer. So that he quotes this Gemara and Ksuba Safiyud Aleph from an Aleph, that there's a special din that the father could create the geirus even without the son asking for it. We saw it already in Rashi, in the early Rishon, in Ksuba Shid Aleph. But then he turns around and says, that's only if the father did not convert. Because once the father converted, he's not the father anymore. That mentioned to you already yesterday. You can go both ways. Some say, we saw it in the Shita Mekubetzes, if the father does convert, it's more of a reason that it's a schus for the kid. He wants to be with the same religion as his father. But the Tosis Yontif suggests that no, only the father did not convert. Once he converts, he's no longer a din of an av. He is only the din of an av, as we saw in another line in Shita Mekubetzes yesterday. It's a lamdus. Not as a biggest schus, as the Chasam Sofer said and others. It's a lamdus. It's a brand new din, a new track. He wouldn't need shlichus, as we saw yesterday in the Shita. That lamdus din of av would only work if he did not convert. But once he converted, he's no longer officially and halachically the father, then it wouldn't work. Mimela, he says, you wouldn't be able to do the matbil without her explicit consent. And others disagree and say it's enough to have the person who's in charge. He has an afkamina for the adoptive parent. adoptive parent. Now, it seems to me that he wants to say the adoptive parent is going to work according to the people who say it's a matter of, you know, who nichole, you want to adopt the parents, who will now work according to the Miri. Because the Miri says the father is in charge. But I think the Miri said the father is in charge. In our case, the adoptive father is in charge. It's against what Rav Bakshi is saying. It's true. If you need a halachic status, it would not apply to a mother. Wouldn't apply to the father once the father is already this guy first, or in an adoptive case, there is no real father, then it wouldn't work. I'm the first to agree. But according to the Meiri, I think it would work. So that's where I differ from Rav Bakshi. Again, I'll leave you this article. It's a very beautiful article, which feel free to read at your convenience. I'm going to stop here. I'm sorry we actually started the shiur a little late today, ended a little bit early, but I really, it's very important Parshas Chayesar to talk about Inyanim of Shiduchim. And the Mirz Hashem, we will continue. Spoke too soon. We'll stop here. All right, I don't really much of enough time. I want to discuss one more thing, but Sunday. Sunday, she is wrapping up the regular time, 11:30, but Seattle is shy. Okay. We'll say Parshas Chayesar is the Parsha of Shiduchim, and it's the first Jewish Shidduch, which means, although Avraham married Sarah, they weren't Jewish yet. I'm still not sure to find out when they get married. I'm still doing my research assistants. How old were they when they got married? You know?
Avraham
was 40. 40? What did it say?
Avraham
was 40 when they got married? That's good to know. Okay. Avraham and Parshas, what? You let me know. You go on the computer, you let me know in 2 minutes. Wait. Good to know. Okay, if Avraham was 40, let's assume that for the moment, Yitzhar was 30, right? She was 10 years younger. But they weren't Jewish yet, or were they? According to one version, Avraham Avinu didn't even discover Hashem until he was 40. Right? The Rambam talks about it, others talk about it. It could be as he discovered his wife and discovered Hashem at the same time. But Hashem, when you get married, you'll also discover a greater understanding of a Kodesh Baruch. But this is the first Shidduch in Klal Yisrael. And you notice that the Shidduch is being done not by Yitzchak himself, he's a totally passive party over here, but by his father. In traditional Jewish circles, Shidduchim were done, I use the word done in Dvar, they talk in Yiddish to this day. I did a Shidduch. Not the kid, the father said, my cousin said, I did a Shidduch. You did a Shidduch? Yeah, my son is getting married, my daughter's getting married, I did the Shidduch. Which is, that's what, look at the Chumash. They're the more traditional than we are. I did the Shidduch. I arranged for my son to marry this girl or my daughter to marry this boy. That's the whole Parshat Chayesar is all about. Rabosai, I'm looking around the room. Most people here are single, not even engaged yet. Do you expect your father to do the Shidduch? Who expects his father to do the Shidduch? Raise your hand.
I expect that, you're not going to.
Oh. You expect in principle, but not in real life. So unfortunately, for better or worse, on our side, your father's not going to do the Shidduch. So you have to do the Shidduch. So you have to step into big shoes as parents who are much older and wiser when the children are getting married than the children were getting married themselves. And you have to grow up quick. You know, that usually the father marries up his kid when he's 50. Just on average. So you have to marry yourself off when you're 22, 3, 4, 5, whatever it may be. So you're half the age of the father and half the life experience and half the wisdom. That is Katna Maduris. I'm going to that right now. We'll come up next week again. Totally different context. But so how do you do it? There's one most important thing to do. It's before you start anything, you have to look at the Parsha of Chayesar. You have to. This is where we learn. Okay. Chazal dashed in the Medrash that the Torah and the Nevi'im, it's a Gemara also, the Torah and the Nevi'im uksuvim, me Hashem ish al ish. Here it's based on the pasuk, me Hashem yotza adover. Who said me Hashem yotza adover? You haven't been Marvin said you yet, so I can't fault you. Love it in the Suah. Whoa. Yeah, but I guess if it's written in the Torah, Chazal say it's true. They have pasukim in Tanakh also, and the Nevi'im and uksuvim. So we believe this whole concept of Basheret and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha Protis, which is hidden from us today in so many ways, is most manifest when it comes to Shidduchim. and having married off children, I can tell you that it's absolutely true. I also got married, that's also I can tell you it's true. But the more recent memory, and the more multiple memories, marrying off children, and I can tell you that it's all comes from the Kodesh Baruch. This happened, and this happened, and this happened. It all happens. So let's assume, Rabbi Osai, that you're about to get into the parsha. For some of that may be tomorrow, some of it was yesterday, and some of it will be in a year or 2 years, and I'm not rushing you right now. We could be privately and discuss this issue of age appropriateness and the maturity appropriateness and the whatever other appropriateness is there on to talk about. But what do you do? What's the first thing to do? What did Eliezer do? What is the first thing Eliezer did when he came? You know, he's the one who's arranging the shidduch. What's the first thing he does? The first thing he does is everything's from Perek Chaf Dal and Bereshis, this week's parasha. Pasuk Yudbeis. Vayomar Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham Hakreino Lefona Hayom Vasei Chesed Im Adoni Avraham. The first thing he does is daven. First thing, you have to daven. You can start davening now, gentlemen, whether you want to get married in a few months or in a few years. It's never too early to start davening for this. You're all Bechmones for the Chuppah. No one's under 18. Time to start davening. What's the trap on Vayomar? Anybody know? Shalshelis. You keep davening, and keep davening, and keep davening. Shalshelis, Vayomar. He kept davening, I don't know how fast he did it, but for us, you have to daven, a long davening. This is the opening words. This is Pasuk Yud Beis. The first Pasuk, the first word out of his mouth. Vayomar Hashem. He's davening. He's davening at Kadosh Baruch. And the very first thing to do is to daven. Before Shekhamar. Al Kain Yispalel Kol Chosid Le'eis Mitzo. A person should daven from the Gemara, many different terms. I'm not going with all the Gemara's interpretations, I don't know the Gemara, some other interesting ones, not for now. But the one we're focusing on now is Zu'isha. Shenema, we all know from the Tanoim. Motza Isha, Motza Tov. You have to daven the Kodesh Baruch. If you're a chassid, you should be a chassid. Small ches. A chassid. Le'eis Mitzo. To daven the Kodesh Baruch, you should find the right wife. All right, Rabbi Osai, we're going to daven Mincha after Shir. Start right today. We haven't started already. We may be already deep into the Tefillos. But we have to start no later than this afternoon. No later. Okay. So what is he done? The Hovah knows the story. The Naru says, Hatinoch Hadech Vashteh Roshteh Gagum Alecha Asheh Osocha. Right? Chesed. We need the Midah of Chesed. Why do we need the Midah of Chesed? For two reasons. Number one, as I tell every couple, marriage is based upon giving. Rav Dessler has in his Michtam Elyon, Kuntras HaChesed, that the only marriage that's guaranteed to be happy and successful is when each party comes into the marriage with a desire to give to the other party. If they're trying to take, it's like a business. It's like a business, you know? As long as the business is profitable, we'll stay in it. If it's not profitable, you sell it. I don't want to give the full analogy to a marriage, but you understand what I'm saying? If you're in a marriage for taking purposes and you feel you're giving more than you're taking, so you just walk out. Rachmana litzlan. This is critical, the first and most important issue of marriage. And Rav Dessler writes, those who know this lesson, they'll be happy for life. The Ida Perusha Zil Gemara. The rest is just figuring this out. Those who are not, Chalila V'chas. That's number one. Number two, not for now, Barichas. Yitzchak Avinu was the Midas HaGvura. After Yitzchak, the Midas HaGvura, so we needed to have the Midah of Chesed of Rivka, so the Yitzchak, the Gvura, and the Chesed together should lead to the birth of Yaakov Avinu, who was the Midah of Tiferes, which is the combination of Chesed and Gvura. We're not going into the long arichas. There are those who claim Avraham Avinu is Midas HaChesed, and Sarah had a little bit more Midas HaDin. Throw him out. We read last week. Yitzchak was Midas HaDin, married Rivka Midas HaChesed. There's a common, I don't mean it's opposite attract as in the Goyish world, you know, in Hollywood. I mean, there is something to be said that the different, somewhat different tendencies on the part of the parents, but of course, when they bring up the children to the united front, I'm not saying, as you know, go to daddy for this, go to mommy for that, that's a disaster. No one has any kids yet, I'm not ready to give you to parenting lessons. Although you should learn those two now, because it's never too early. But one thing, united front, okay? Parents of you have a united front, no matter what your own tendencies happen to be. Back to the story. So what does he ask? Chesed. So people think that's all he asked for. Midas HaChesed. And of course it was rewarded in spades, Midas HaChesed. And I am here to tell you that that's not the case. There's another equally important midah, and the two, as we shall see, are related. And in particular in today's world, we require an extra emphasis on this, because as we know, in every world there were different opinions and different ways of thinking, and it's very difficult to change a person's way of thinking. We're not discussing intellectual pursuits. Intellectual beliefs can be changed. Rosh Hashanah says on this parsha, why did Avraham Avinu send so far away? As he quotes from Chazal, Chazal said by Kriyas Yamsev, he says it over here, because Avodah Zarah, as we know from Rashi, in the base love of the soil, Pidisi Abayis, everybody have, oh, Avodah Zarah is away. And there it's Shol Avodah Zarah. So Mali here, Mali, Malach HaMavis, Mali Hocha, Mali Hosom. There's Avodah Zarah here, Avodah Zarah there. Says the Ran in the critical drasha, the Midas were somewhat better. The Midas were somewhat better in Avram's homeland than they were in Eretz. So Maaseh Kanaan, Ashi Yashavta, the whole, terrible Midas. And the Ran explains, you can't have a crash course in Midas. You have a crash course in theology, where Rivka was told that Avodah Zarah is false and Hashem is true. Okay, program right away. I'm in there right away. But to change a person's Midas, you know what Yisrael Salanta said? It's harder to change a midah, one single midah, than to finish all of Shas. So that's why he sent far away midas. So you'll say, okay, midas. Midas HaChesed, Baruch Hashem. Chazal says, later on your mamas, midas HaFayin test. Yisrael's Rachmanim, Baishonim, and Gomei Chasodim. I believe that the idea of Gomei Chasodim is true to this very day. You see so much chesed in Klai, so really, it's unbelievable. Bli Anhar, wonderful. But is it chesed has a corollary, which is not so well known, and this unfortunately is under siege, yes, even in the Torah community, because of the zeitgeist, because of what the outside, you know? I must say, when Klai saw Gomei Chasodim, it's also against the idea of me first, but me only, which permeates our society. But we still have that in us. We still have the meat of Avraham Avinu, of Chesed. We still have it. So many didn't have it, Baruch Hashem. I want to talk about the corollary. That's found in the Kli Yoker, in his commentary in this week's parsha. On this very pasuk Yud Beis, Hakin Elefon Ayom, says the Kli Yoker as follows. Sheyazmin lo Hashem Nara Chashuva, She'ein darko lotzeis klal. A woman was the midah of tznius. She doesn't hang out by the well. The well was like the pizza shop or the candy store, whatever you want to call it. That was the well in those days. She doesn't hang out with that one of those girls who hang out. Right? Ulefi shah v'mikre teitzayach lefonai, lefonai. Dafka. K'dei shalo kiyamene atzanios. I don't want a girl who hangs out, is out there. I want a girl who is such a tznua that she's always at home. Hakrein ala funny. The push of hakrein means it should be a coincidence that I should be there at the right second. More than that, says the Kli Yoker. It's a coincidence that she's even out of the house. She's supposed to be home all the time. Just now she had no choice, she had to come out. And you know what, says the Kli Yoker? His tefillah was fulfilled. Rivka. What in America have what they call it coming out. Right? Debutante, you know. So this is Rivka's coming out. No, she never came out before. She always is at home. She's Nisha Tznua. What is proof that she never came out before? What is proof? Before she apostle, Rabbi said. Apostle which we read, and again, everything is Perek Chavdal. Apostle which we read, Rabbi said, apostle test Zion. Vahanaro Tovas Mar'eh Ma'od. Bisula, the ish lo yedoah. So we all know Rashi, right? Rasha Vishla Yada, and along the lines by Eda the Maschav Ishto, that she was a Besula and Kedarka and Shalom Kedarka. That's Rashi's pshat, okay, from Chazal. But that's a simple read. The Ishto Yada, what's a simple read? Come on, I mean, a real literal translation. I wonder what they have in the hospital. What happened to my chumash? Someone took away our chumash? We had a little... See? Oh, thank you. Let's read what the article says. 24:16. See what it says. Drum roll. 24:16. The maid was very filled upon a virgin whom no man had known. Little translation. Now, had known... Gives it away to go with Rashi. They say in front, they try to translate to Rashi. But I would say, Ishlo, I mean, no man knows her. No one knows who she is. That's what Cleopatra says. I read you his words. Ishlo Yada, Shelo Hoya Shum Adam Makira. No one knew her. No one knew she was. Kilo Yotzas Meolam Kimipam Zeh. Meridik. The Hakwe doesn't just mean that I should bump into her. This should be a first time out by a quirk. But she has the meat of tznius. I'll tell you the proof. Cleopas' proof. Okay. The Cleopas is as follows. He quotes the pasuk. Everything's over here. After all this is going on, says Eliezer, after all this whole story, he already put this. He already gave her the engagement ring and the diamond ring and the bracelets and everything. And then he asked, by the way, Prosikov Gimel, Vayomer, Bas Mi At. So Rashi says he had confidence that it's going to be from the right family. It's because of Avraham Avinu. Now, gentlemen, let me tell you something. When you go to YU Connect Shabbos or any other social scene and a certain young lady looks, maybe for you, you don't go over and say, who are you? Just don't do it. You go with either to the connector or to her friend or to your friend or to the balabusta or somebody. Who is she? Everybody knows that. I hope you all know that. Voice a little bit of common sense. Who does not know that until I told you this minute? Baruch Hashem, you all know that. Why didn't Eliezer know that? He was such a dumb cuff. He didn't know to ask somebody else. Says the Kliyok, of course he knew it. He asked everybody, no one knew who she was. Ishla Yadah. No, he asked everybody, who is she? No one knew. So no one knew. We had no choice. We asked her, who are you? How come no one knew her? Because she was a tsnua. That's a poem. No one knew her. She was a tsnua. Rabosai, this is critical. Critical. Lama lo shol l'shara nara shayu shama. The answer is, they didn't know. No one knew who she was. Amazing. Rabbeinu says it's this meat of tznius, which is really under siege, was my name. Even the people doing chesed are not doing it with tznius anymore. Chesed is supposed to be done with tznius. But today, because everything's so out there, there's such a lack of tznius in the world around us for both genders. Huh? But from our perspective, the female gender, I'm saying it up front and center, no one, I'm denying it or hiding it, is the past of have a greater measure of tznius. What do I get it from? See, I got it from Har Sinai. Even before Har Sinai. Yeah, before Har Sinai. Chazal are critical of Batete Dina Basleya. We'll read in a couple of weeks. She was the Atonis, and she is the Atonis, and look at the trouble they had, and the result of that, should have stayed home. Goes back much before that. Yeah. Look in Rashi. You're supposed to know Chumash and Rashi. Parshas Bereishis. We can't go back anymore. This is the first Parsha. Parshas Bereishis. The first Perek. The program, of course, are not from Jewish sources, but it says that Bereishis Perek Aleph. Okay? Just as a marmuk of the find, and I'm not giving any special stock to what number the print to put on top. But it is. The Kivshua, Pasuk Chavches. What does it say? Shalom Tehe Yatz Onis. A woman shouldn't be a gadabout. Shouldn't be running around so much. Now, I'm fully aware about that the times are changing. I know that. And I concede to a measure of that change. I'll tell you exactly what I mean. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Ishus that a man shouldn't be too tough on his wife and, you know, and keep her under his thumb. He should allow her, catch this now, allow her to leave her house once or twice a month. It's in Rambam. Emes, it's in the Rambam. I told the story. I actually printed this once because I was so upset about it. And I heard the story, again, I can't give 100% confirmation, but someone who said he was there. A guy got married, some yeshiva guy, and he decided he's going to follow the Rambam. Foolish Rambam. So his wife was stuck at home. She used a monthly pass to go to Rav Yashiv. He says, my husband said, come get up. He says, what? Call him in. He starts yelling at him, are you crazy? What are you talking? Rambam! But that Rambam was in it for a different time. So I'm the first to admit that times change. We no longer have these kinds of halachos. You know, the Gemara says in Masechta Brachos at the end, Achore Ari v'lo Achore Isha Bashuk. Better go behind a lion than to go behind a woman in the market. So it sits on the end there, Rotterdam Shlomo Zalman. It's printed in both of the Sorum. I go in Machne Yehuda, it's where we lived. In Machne Yehuda. Here a woman, there a woman, everywhere a woman, woman. Everywhere you go, the women. What's all McDonald's going to do? So Shlomo Zalman writes it back. You're right. I mean, it's impossible not to go Machne Yehuda, not behind a woman. So you have to look down, look to the side. So the world changes. I remember I saw in one of those museums, they had a picture of downtown Manhattan, all the people running around, you know, downtown Manhattan from the first started the motion pictures of men. You saw that. Even then, we're talking about the 20th century. You had a tremendous majority of the people in the street were men in the downtown area. There's also women. Today, it's 50-50. So, yeah. The things change. I'm the first to admit the things are changing. I'm not here. I can't turn back the clock. Whether I want to or don't, I want to quote to you a great man who was a purist. There are very few purists in today's world. But he's a great man. His name is Rabbi Shlomo Danziger Shalita. Just lost his wife very recently. I spoke to him on the phone. He was a Rav in Riverdale for quite a few years. When I came, he was already there. And we actually overlapped for a bit over 12 years. And I had some meaningful conversations with him, although he lived much further north than me. And in one of the conversations, he said to me, you know, really, he had really almost no parnasa. He was at a shul, he taught in the yeshiva here, but his wife went to work. She worked in the city college. This goes back when. And he said, you know, really, she should be staying home. Is that right for a woman to go out to work? It's wrong. Women should be in the workplace. I have no alternative because I have no parnasa. Rabosai, there's so much truth to what he's saying. So many of the problems that the community faces today is because the women are in the workplace. Took a very strong exception. There was a yeshiva, and in its tuition policy said, no scholarships will be given to students in yeshiva unless the mother is working. They're trying to build it into the system. Both have to work. Now, I know in Israel, it's even more than here. Both have to work. We cracked. There's no, you know, the Rambam quotes from the philosophers. You have no choice. If you have a choice, mothers should raise their children in the house. That's how my children grew up. My wife stayed home. After all, the children were out of the house. Oh, she has a somewhere, believe me, it's not a fast track position, and believe me, it's way under what she could have done had she made a different life decision and started to work from the very beginning. But we both felt that, how this has to say, Tein li ha nefesh v'chush kach loch. and having children and raising them yourself. I walk in Riverdale, 9 o'clock, I'm driving to the yeshiva, and I see a veritable United Nations wheeling all the Jewish kids through the streets. Dayla Hakim. All right. Again, no choice. Now the Chatchila. And now, it happened so many times that the tznius, which was a hallmark of the Jewish woman, even more than the man, called Gvura Bas Melech Penima, yes. And it's not a pejorative. It's not a pejorative, as some of the critics say. Just look at the Midrash Rabbah in Parshas Bamidbar, where the Chazal teach us that Hashem appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu in so many different places, here, then everywhere, until Olam Moed. Once it was Olam Moed, Hashem appeared only there. And Chazal Dash, it's a question of Pshat Medrash is, it says, Kol Kvuda Bas Melech Penima, Kol Tassam Bas Melech, refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. Either the Bas Melech or the Melech, different Pshat. Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest person ever lived. It's not pejorative, Bas Melech Penima. To the contrary, tznius is the greatest thing in the world. Yes, there are hechrechim to be yotzim together at tznius. It's true. For men more than women, traditionally. I have to go out to work, and I have to have a public role, and then it involved in Yonah HaTzibur. Women traditionally did their most important work, as Rav Moshe Feinstein has in his famous tshuva, Orva Chaim, Chelek Dala, Simon Memtes. The most important work for women to do is to take care of the children. That's what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. Again, there are always many exceptional cases, you have to go out, etc., etc. Gemara Baba Kama Tetzvav says that you might have thought that the dinim only applied to men because they're the ones who do business and not the women. There's no issue for women to do business, but they had a different role in those days. They were taking care of the family in the house. That's what Kodesh Baruch Hu really wants. It's the ideal. Sometimes we don't have the ideal. But here we're discussing the first shidduch. This is the ideal. And you'll see as the Kliyakar continues in his fascinating explication of the entire parsha. Says the whole yesod is tznius. Rashi already alludes to it. He put bekas of remez the shikle yisrael, shnei tzmidim, shnei luchos, asaras of the asaras adibris. What's it doing over here? What's it doing over here? Explains the kliyakar as follows. Let me do what he says. Listen. Eliezer was checking Rivka out. He said, Balas Ayin Tova. He said, yeah. I should give her a Becca, Machta Shekel, Hamachaper al Ayin Hara, Umegan Olaf. He called Bal Ayin Yof and Nitzel me Ayin Hara. Right from Yosef. What does it mean? You have blue eyes? If you have blue eyes and no Ayin Hara, that's what it means. Chas v'sholem. We all know what it means. An ayin tova is chesed, right? You do chesed, everyone knows that. The Gemara says by truma. We even had it just recently. We have it by truma. We said it's not a schuz gomer in the Rashba, because you want to give a 40th, the 50th, the 60th. So it's chesed. Give more than you have to. That's the opposite of ayin hara. You know, bli ayin hara, we always say. What's an ayin hara? If you're up front and center, the Gemara says baba bashadav beis, if you're grain is growing, everyone's seeing it, and they go, oh, why does he deserve this grain? I want it. He doesn't deserve it. So Hashem looks down and takes it away from you. Put a big fence, no one should see it. You all know what the Kliyakar says. Tnu lechem tzafona in Parshas Devarim. Tzafona milashon hide. And he quotes a Rashi in Sefer Bereishis. Lama tisra'u. In Parshas Miketz. If you have money and others don't, hide it. Don't flaunt it. This is the tznius, which is the yesod, and the kliyakar, they write, so many of the tzaras that we have because we flaunt our money, and it's kinah, but from the goyim. P.S. is all kinah from the Jews. Hide it. This is the tznius, which is a hallmark of Klal Yisrael. And chesed and tznius are going together. Just look, what's the opposite of tznius? Ayin hara. What's the opposite of chesed? Ayin ra. Similar terms. So, that means that chesed and tznius go together. Because if I'm doing a chesed because I want a plaque, oh, I did chesed. What kind of tznius? That's no chesed. Chesed lumim chatos. You do a kind of chesed, you want a big plaque, how great you are. That's not a chesed. the proper chaz is no one's looking. Sometimes you have to publicize. They have no drash, they have no choice. Have a public appeal. Otherwise, the shul is going to go broke. Okay? So we have no choice. A hechrich. But ideally, we do it with sneers. Aseres adibris. Why? Why were they destroyed? They were broken. So Rashi says in Parshas Kisisa that the first ones were given b'tshuas for the kolos, put out a fanfare. Shalta ben ayin hara. Who knows how Rashi ends? Last five words in Rashi. Ein l'chayafim in atzniyus. This is the Yisod, Rabosai. And I'm saying it to you all, mitzvah going out and looking for a wonderful kala. Yes, chesed is very important, but the corollary of chesed, maybe you should call it a co-requisite of chesed, is tznius. And I'm not just discussing dress. Dress is certainly important. There are people today who dress inappropriately, too much of their bodies are showing, and I'm forgive me for saying it so graphically, but I have no choice, you have to hear it from me. This is Rabbi Yomid Zilber said it, much more graphic than I would ever say it. He discussed with B'nai Brak in his day, from 50 years ago, when he wrote the Sefer, that the women who, because they have to cover everything, when they want to flaunt their bodies anyway, they wear these very tight-fitting clothes. Rabbi Yomid Zilber said it's as if they're naked. Now, I'm not going that far. But you all know what I mean. I'm not going into details now. It's just not right. Flaunting your body, it's not right. Either way. It's not right, it's a lack of tznius. But it goes much past that. Even women who are dressed completely appropriately, some of them just, a teenage shenishba. They grew up in a society. From their earliest infancy, and you know what they said, the boys, the girls, everyone's going out there and doing the same things. And there was no sense of modesty and privacy. That was always the hallmark of a Jewish woman. Rabosai, Jewish men are also required to conduct themselves with tznius. Absolutely. If people who heard this drasha from me say, okay, so if a man is supposed to look for chesed and tznius in a woman, what's a woman supposed to look for in a man? My response, chesed and tznius. Same things. Rabbi Dessler said it, b'chdim elio. Chesed works both ways, and tznius works both ways. And they two together, they go together. You see the kliyoka, they go together. The hobo hatalia. Has to be that way. This is such an important yisod, and it's so much counter to the spirit of even parts of the Orthodox community. Where it's pure egalitarian, it's meant to be exactly the same. Women have to be rabbinical interns, and they have to be, I don't know what, they have to go out there and accept positions, no different from the men, unless it's a strict halacha, they can't be an aide, you can't write a sefer Torah. Whatever you, as long as you dodge these strict halachic bullets, everything goes. It's not so. It's not so. It's not that so. It never was so. It never will be so. If it started from Chava Yemenu, Botei Atonis, it proceeds even Mount Torah. The Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted the world to go. Yes, there are concessions to modernity in reality. I'm the first to admit it. But they're concessions. It's not a chatchila, and it's not all the way. There have to be certain boundaries even in our society. It's not the topic. We don't have time to discuss it today. But I feel what I said to you today is very, very critical in terms of looking for a shidduch, chesed, tznius. It's so, so important. And the recognition. As we started the shul shmuz, may Hashem yotza hadol. Ultimately, this decision which a person makes, and it's not being made by your parents, it's being made by you, which is the single most important decision of your entire life, bar none. I'm discussing decisions on the continuum. Careers on the continuum, Yiddishkeit's on the continuum. This is a single decision. The single most important decision of your whole life. You need to see out of the Shema. I said before about the Mincha. Shema Koleinu, and that's a good place to put it. Shema Koleinu, you can put it in any, or Yir L'Rotzen, the place that you can put all these things. The Dav HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Start now. It's a Shalshelis on the Vayoma. Shalshelis. Mit Hashem, in the Schus of your Davening with the Shalshelis, you and your wife to be part of the Shalshelis HaKabbalah till the Mashiach can't even hear your name. Amen.
Can I get out of it?